Hebrews 4, verse 16 is my text tonight, and there's a wonderful promise in that verse. Of course, you realize it's a promise that involves prayer. What that verse says is that if I come boldly to the throne of grace, that I can obtain there mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, most people, when they read that verse and they think about the promise that's in there, they think, here's what they think. If I come boldly to the throne of grace, I can find mercy, obtain mercy, and find grace so that I can help myself in my time of need. And that's certainly taught other places in the Bible. God certainly encourages us to pray for things that we need in our life. I mean, He tells us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, for example, for our daily bread. Other places, He tells us pray daily for forgiveness of sins. Pray daily for protection. And yet, if you read verse 16 in a slightly different way, I think you can get an entirely different meaning. Again, let me just do it that way. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help somebody else in their time of need, so that we can help somebody else in their time of need. And I think, and I'm not sure exactly what meaning is right. I think you could probably rest pretty strongly on both of them. But I think there are times in our lives where God says, look, there's somebody out there that I want you to help. But you can't do it in your own strength. You can't help that person unless you come to me and get something first. And so here's a promise where God says, hey, you come boldly to the throne of grace. You get from me that mercy, and you get from me that grace so that you can go out and help somebody else. The word boldly has a couple different meanings. First of all, it means open-faced or unashamed. And so God's saying, when you come to the throne of grace, when you come in prayer, come unashamedly. You just come. And then secondly, it means confidently. And so what He says, when you come boldly to that throne of grace, come expecting to get an answer to your prayer. And I wonder how many times we pray and we either never think about it, or we never expect God to really do what we prayed for. And I won't ask you to raise your hands tonight, but as I've examined my prayer life, a lot of times I prayed for stuff that if God really did it, I would be the most surprised person on the face of the earth. Not because of God, but because of me. And God says, look, when you pray, when you come to that throne of grace, don't be ashamed and come confident that I'm able to do what you ask. That I'm able to give you what you need, either in your life or in the life of somebody else. So, when we come to the throne of grace, when we pray, God says, I want you to come boldly. I want you to come boldly. Tonight, I'm going to give you five things, five reasons, five different things to think about why we should come boldly. Why we can come in prayer boldly to God and find that mercy and find that grace, again, either so we can help in our time of need or help in somebody else's time of need. Five things. Number one, we can come boldly when we come praying for the will of God to the glory of God. It's funny to me how we pray sometimes. We go to God and we say, God, I want to tell you about something you don't know. I want to tell you about a problem in my life or a problem in the life of somebody else that I think I can help, and I'm sure that you're not aware of this problem. And because you're not aware of it, you haven't had time to think about it like I've had time to think about it, so I've already got a solution worked out. And I want to tell you what that solution is so that you'll know what you need to do. And sometimes when we come to God, that's how we pray. Well, I got some news for you tonight. God knew about the problem before you did. And God's already got an answer, a solution worked out to that problem. And His solution is a whole lot better than any solution we might be able to come up with. So if I come to God knowing that truth, that He knows everything that's going on in my life and everything that's going on in everybody's life around me, and He's already got an answer to the problems that I might have or the problems that somebody else might have, that He wants me to work in being a part of the solution to that problem. If I keep that truth in mind and I come praying to God and say, God, okay, what's your will? And God said, okay, you can come boldly. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, here's what the Bible says. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us, and we know that if He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. Right, here's what John was saying. If I pray according to the will of God, If I pray with the truth, again, that God, You know everything that's going on, You know every problem, You know every heartache, and You've already got an answer worked out. You've already got a solution worked out. So God, tell me what that solution is. Tell me what Your will is. And if I pray that way, John says, you can have confidence that God will hear. And then he says, we know that if God hears, then He will give us what we desire. I'll just stop and think about it for a minute. It just makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if God has a will in a certain situation, and I come to God and I ask Him, God, I want Your will to be done. What does it say in the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done. That's what Jesus taught His disciples to pray. But if I come to Him and say, God, I don't have an answer for this. I don't have a solution. I don't have a preference. I just want whatever You want in this situation. God says, okay, that's the same thing I want. I'm going to give it to you. And I can have confidence that He's going to hear me when I pray in His will. And again, according to this verse, if He hears me and I'm praying in His will, then He's going to give me what I desire. He's going to give me what I desire. So, pray for the will of God to be done. And if you're praying for the will of God to be done, you can come boldly into the throne room, you can come boldly into His presence, and you can ask, and He'll hear and give you what you ask for. Now, why? Why? Again, I've covered this two or three times the last four or five services, but why? So that our needs can be met? So that somebody else's needs can be met? Yeah, that's part of the answer why we ought to pray like that. But to me, that's just the extra. That's just the icing on the cake. I mean, as we pray in God's will and ask Him to work His will, what we're really praying for is for God's glory to be shown, for His glory to be exalted. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says, Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, including prayer, do all to the glory of God. As I pray for God's will to be done, to meet a need in my life or somebody else's, and again, that need will be met if I'm praying in God's will. But the most important thing that will come out of that is that God will be glorified. Leonard mentioned in his devotion last night about the church picnic that's recorded in John chapter 6, where a little boy that shared his lunch that he brought of five small pieces of bread and two fish. And if you go back and you read in John chapter 6, after the people there, 5,000 men and many other women and children, some think 15,000 people, after the people saw the miracle, after they'd eaten all they wanted, I think, Brother Leonard, the only point I disagreed with you last night is, you said if Herb and Steve were there, the Bible couldn't say that. I think God could have made enough to fill them two up too. When the people saw that miracle, they said, surely this is the Christ. Surely this is the Son of God. And God was glorified because of that miracle. Now, everything that we do in our life, we ought to have that for our purpose, to glorify our Savior, to glorify our God. And as we pray for His will to be done, He's going to meet needs. But the most important thing of Him meeting the need is that He will be glorified. He'll be lifted up. So, what allows us to come boldly to the throne of grace? When we come praying for the will of God to the glory of God. Number two, when we come praying with a clear conscience. I'm going to go back to 1 John, this time chapter 3. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now those verses start out and says, if our heart condemn us. Not talking about other people condemning us. Not talking about our actions condemning us. I'm not talking about something visible. I'm talking about what's on the inside. I'm talking about what our hearts know. You see, I can hide my sin from you. And you have no basis for which to condemn me. But I can't hide my sin from my heart. I mean, if I sin, the Holy Spirit's going to let me know about it. That's one of His jobs. And I can't hide my sin from God. It's funny to me that people think they can hide things from God. You can't. He knows every thought that we think. He knows every motive behind our actions. And when that verse says, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things, He knoweth all things. He knoweth the hidden sin that we might have. But then it goes on and says, but if our heart condemn us not, in other words, if I have a clear conscience, if I'm living my life in such a way that the Holy Spirit has nothing to condemn me with, then, John says, we can have confidence that whatsoever we ask, He'll give us, we'll receive. Now, how do you have a clear conscience? Well, that verse tells us two things that we need to do to have a clear conscience. Number one, keep His commandments. Just go back to the 10, book of Exodus, book of Numbers, repeated twice in the Old Testament. Have no other gods before me. Don't take my name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Don't make any idols. Honor your father and your mother. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't covet. Don't lie. What's the other one? That's 9. I didn't write them down. Well, that's 9 out of 10. You can look up the other one. What is it, Dick? Yeah, I said that one. Which one? No, I said don't lie. Well, anyhow, I just go back to the 10. And keep those commandments. But then the Bible goes beyond that. It says not only that we do His commandments, but that we please Him. Now, there's a difference between keeping the commandments and pleasing Him. Adam can keep my commandments. You saw the letter that I put in the bulletin, if you took time to read it this morning, about a father that was writing to his son. And basically it goes something like this. He said, while you're in my house, you're going to obey my rules. He said, we're not going to be pals. We can be friends, but we're going to be at a different level of friendship. He said, this house is not a democracy. You didn't elect me as your father. I was appointed your father by God. And so I'm going to make the rules. Know that every rule that I make, and I'm going to expect your obedience, and that expectation and those rules come out of my love. And then he ended it by saying, you won't understand this until you have a son of your own. Until then, just trust me. Just trust me. And so Adam can keep all the rules. Obey the speed limit. You know, obey the rules at school about what time to get in and all that kind of stuff. And that's good. But he can also find out things that pleases Dad. He did that last night when he came home and pleased his dad. By the way, that's what Jesus did to his father. He not only kept all the rules, he found out what pleased God. That's why God said from heaven on 3 or 4 different occasions, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the way to have a clear conscience so that you can come boldly to that throne of grace and obtain mercy and find the grace of God is to not only keep His commandments, but find things that please Him and do those things that please Him. Number 3, we can come boldly to the throne of grace when we come praying for His will to the glory of God, when we come with a clear conscience. Number three, when we come praying knowing that we've been invited to come. When I come to the throne of grace, I'm not imposing on God. When I come to the throne of grace, I'm not an intruder. When I come to the throne of grace, I'm coming because I have a written invitation from the one that sits on that throne and tells me that I'm welcome to come. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Let's decide, let's pretend, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's pretend that this morning after the service, I decided I needed to see the President of the United States. And so I went to the airport and I got on an airplane and I flew to Washington, D.C. When I got to the airport in Washington, D.C., I got a taxi and I said, take me to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. There's a big gate around the White House and a guard booth. And so I go up to the guard booth and I say to the guard, I'm here to see the President. He would say, well, what's your name? I would say, Darryl Manning. He said, just a minute. He'd take out a clipboard with a bunch of papers clipped to the top of it. And he might flip through a couple of them. He'd say, I'm sorry, I don't see your name on the list. I would say, it doesn't matter. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I pay my taxes every year. I even voted for Mr. Bush for president. I'd like to see him. And the guard would say to me, I don't care who you are. I don't care how much taxes you pay. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. You don't have an invitation. You can't get in to the White House. And I would not be able to get into the White House. Now, let me bring it down a couple steps and give you another example. Let's say that we dismissed this morning. You were home, sitting down to eat dinner. Knock on your door. You go to the front door. It's me. I'm standing at your front door. And you say, hi, preacher. And I say, hi. I say, it's lunchtime. And you say, I know it's lunchtime. So? I say, well, I was just in the area and I thought I might just drop by. Now, most of you would probably let me in and feed me. But I'll tell you what, there'd be a lot of tension in the air. Because I didn't have an invitation. And if you were honest, you would say, this ain't right. He just can't barge in and eat lunch with us anytime that he wants. He needs to have an invitation. I want to tell you something. We have an open invitation from God. It's a 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 366 during leap year. A written invitation where God says, hey, anytime you want to stop by, stop by. Anytime you want to come into my presence. And by the way, you don't have to worry about what time of day it is. I mean, if I showed up at your house at 2 o'clock in the morning, you might not be so, Brother Dick, you might not be so welcoming as if I showed up at lunchtime. But God says, I don't care what time of day it is. I don't care what's going on. You're never, ever an intrusion. You're never, ever unwelcome. You're never, ever a bother. You're never, ever, don't, whenever you want to come, don't worry about it a bit. Just come home. Now, we do that with our kids. I mean, if Adam wanted to come home at 2 o'clock in the morning, I might be a little put out, but I'd still be glad to see him. Say, come on in. You're always welcome. I hope he always feels that way. You're always welcome, no matter what time it is. I want to tell you something. That's the way God feels about us. And so I can come boldly. I mean, before I was married and I was still living at home, I didn't worry about what time it was going to be if I was traveling a long distance. I mean, I tried to call ahead and tell Mom and Dad what time I was going to get home, but I didn't worry about if it was 2 o'clock in the morning because I knew I was welcome. And that's the same way God is. We can come boldly to the throne of grace because we have an invitation. That's 24/7, 365 days a year. He wants us to come. Number four, We can come boldly. Because it is the throne of grace. It's not the throne of justice where I'm going to get what I deserve. It's not the throne of reward where I'm going to get what I've earned. It's the throne of grace. God's unmerited favor. And we might be tempted to say, well, I don't feel worthy. Well, join the club. It's not the throne of worthiness. It's the throne of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Not what I deserve, not what I've earned, but what God wants to give me because of Jesus Christ. I think I've told you this story before, but it illustrates what I'm trying to say. A preacher dreamed one night that he'd died and gone to heaven. An angel met him and was showing him around heaven, showed him all the mansions, showed him the throne room, showed him the crystal sea that was before the throne. They were passing by one street, and he looked down at the end of it, and there were some low buildings at the end of it. And the preacher said, "What are those?" And the angel that was showing him around said, "Well, those are God's warehouses." "Well, what's in those warehouses?" And the angel said, "Come on, I'll show you." And so they went into one of the doors and turned on the lights, and preacher looked around. This warehouse was filled with all sorts of great and wonderful things. Just a whole bunch of different things. They went out of that building into the second warehouse, same thing. Warehouse just filled with great and wonderful things. And preacher thought to himself, "Man, this is just so great. I wish I could have used a lot of these things when I was down on earth." He went into the third warehouse, filled with the same things, and the preacher finally couldn't contain himself anymore, and he says, "What are all these things?" And the angel said, "These are all the things that God had in store for you that you never asked for. These were all the things that God wanted to give you, but you never asked for them." And the preacher said, "Well, I didn't think I deserved all this." And the angel said, "Well, you're missing the point. You don't deserve it. But God wanted to give it to you anyway. He was just waiting for you to ask." He woke up from his dream, and he was the kind of preacher that didn't put much stock in dreams, but he said, as he wrote his autobiography, "My prayer life was never the same after that." It's the throne of grace. "Well, I don't deserve that." "Well, how do you know God doesn't want you to have it? How do you know he doesn't have it reserved in heaven for you, just waiting for you to ask?" We can come boldly because it is the throne of grace. And then, number five, we can come boldly because God will give us what we ask for. We'll find what we need at that throne of grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Now what that verse is saying is God keeps his promises. He says you come boldly to the throne of grace, you'll obtain mercy, and you'll find grace to help in time of need. I don't like to go shopping very much. I shop like a man. In other words, I figure out what I need and I go to get it and then I leave. Thank you, Brother Leonard. Is Candy in here? Oh, yeah, she's here. Okay. I don't like to go look and for something. We come back to the airport in Mexico City, and this one guy that we were with had worked in Mexico before, and he said, "Hey, we got time. We're going to go by the market." I said, "What's the market?" He said, "Oh, you'll see." So we go this, I mean, it's a little hallway between two stores, and you go into this place, and it's probably as big as two football fields, and it's filled with little booths. Everything you ever wanted. Clothes, jewelry, hats, pictures. Just in every place you go in, they don't speak much American or English, but every place you go in, "Come in, come in. I have a special deal just for you." Now, they say that to every person that goes by, but say, I have a special deal just for you. Well, I lasted about 5 minutes. I mean, I saw a little bit, and I said, I'll just meet you outside. I went out and sat on a bench. And Debbie always says, you know, you ought to analyze yourself, figure out why you feel about certain things, you know, why you feel that way. So I was sitting there thinking, I wonder why I hate shopping so much. And I think I figured it out. I hate shopping so much because I'm always disappointed that I'm not going to find what I go for. I mean, when I finally work up enough intestinal fortitude to go shopping and I go to a store for something that I want and it's not there, it really frustrates me. I said, I've gone to all this trouble to come and get this thing and you don't have it. Especially when there's a place for it on the shelf and the shelf is empty. Maybe I'm confessing too many of my sins tonight. I don't know. You don't have to worry about that with God. When you go to the throne of grace, He's got exactly what we need. Exactly what we need. He's never out of it. It's never on back order. It's never down to the bottom of the pile where you have to take the leftovers. We can come and we can find that mercy and we can find that grace to either help in our lives or in the lives of somebody else. So let's come boldly. Let's come unashamedly and let's come confidently that God's going to have what we need. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these truths from your word. I pray that you'd use them to change our lives. I pray that when the next time we get on our knees or the next time we bow our heads and we pray that we do exactly what this verse says, that we would come boldly into your presence. We pray in your will. We pray with a clear conscience. We pray remembering that we've been invited and that you're going to keep your promise and that you'll have what we need. And so, Father, my desire is that we'd all learn to pray like that. I pray tonight, again, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that they'll boldly come and accept the one who died for them, the one who invites them to come, the one who has exactly what they need to stay out of hell. And Father, if there's just one here tonight that's not sure, I pray tonight they decide to receive Jesus. And then, Holy Spirit, you speak to us as Christians. Take the truth, the Word of God, put it into our hearts and minds. Help us to live our lives based on it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.